Good afternoon. Welcome to Pilgrim Talk Radio. I'm Reverend Lee Johnson. I'm with the Reverend Darrell Kingswood, his sidekick, Reverend Scott Henry, and, of course, the maestro of it all, Nick, the sound man. Thank you very much, Nick, for putting up with us.
Yeah,
because it's not easy.
How you doing today, Nick?
Very good. Having a great afternoon.
That leads us into the Ninth Commandment, which is where we are. The Ninth Commandment, you should not bear false witness, or as you may have grown up learning it, you shall not lie.
Let me say something. Let me say something about this commandment before you read that.
Go ahead.
Every one of us have violated this commandment.
That's a lie.
We have all lied. We have all lied.
That's right.
And we think we're people of truth tellers, that on our own we're honest people. We lie every day because we are created as the image of God, and in our thoughts, words, and deeds, we do not glorify God as the image as we are created to glorify God. And so we lie to all of creation about the character of God in our thoughts, words, and deeds, but there is forgiveness at the cross. The forgiveness is in Jesus Christ, recognizing we do not pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. It is Christ alone who has never lied in any of his thoughts, words, and deeds. And that righteousness becomes ours by faith only. When you believe, when you trust, when you lean upon the Lord Jesus Christ, you embrace him as your only Savior, your only hope, your only redemption, your only salvation, as your all in all, then his perfection becomes yours by imputation, and all of your sins, past, present, and future, were imputed to him on the cross, and he bore them all, and you bear them no more before God. And so our only hope in this life is Christ and him alone and his perfections.
So we sing in church, my only hope is, what do we sing? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness.
Both. I need his blood to cover my sins, and I need his perfections to stand before a holy God.
All right.
And this is so easy, this commandment, that we sin every single day. And what do we call it? A little white lie. It's not a whopper. It's just a little white lie.
It's a good clean lie.
Yeah.
Not even a junior whopper?
Not even a junior.
All right. So do I get to read what the catechism says?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Right. So, Lee, you just get to introduce us, and, well, we're taking over, aren't we?
We're taking over. We took over.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Actually, I have.
This is not a coup attempt. This is a coup.
Because he is my sidekick. So.
He is. He is your Tonto.
Question 112.
I'm stunned.
Heidelberg Catechism is asked, what does the Ninth Commandment require? The Ninth Commandment is, of course, therefore...
Do you need me to read it?
Yeah, I think you need to tell me what the commandment is. Thou shalt bear false witness.
Thou shalt not bear false witness
against your neighbor. Thou shalt not. What does the Ninth Commandment require? That I bear false witness against no one, ever.
What's bearing false witness?
Telling a lie. Telling an untruth. Catechism goes on to explain it in terms of twisting a person's words. You'd be bearing false witness. So I'd bear false witness when I'd say, you know what Scott Henry said, and Scott Henry really didn't say that. Or I interpret Scott Henry's words.
Now, why would you do that? What would be
why would I do that?
Well, what would be the hard issue behind doing such a thing of, do you know what he said? What is behind that in the heart of man when we do such
Well, there would be the idea of gossip, malice, and slander for the purpose of either building myself
there
up by pushing you down, character assassination.
Okay, so this leads us to what clearly is idolatry.
Self-worship.
We want to be our own gods.
Self-exaltation.
It's going right back to the garden. You shall be as God.
Well, you know what? As we talk about these things, and hopefully the listeners pick up, when you start talking about these commandments, you see they all flow from that very first commandment.
Right. Excellent.
That's what it comes down to. And who are we trusting in? What are we trusting? And when we talked about theft, it's the idea of the worship of things, finding our identity, finding our meaning, finding our purpose, finding our security, and we could go on and on and on in the things of the world. So we'll steal. We'll do whatever we have to do to get what we think we need to get for our meaning, our purpose, our identity, our security, our sense of, you know, being better than others, whatever it may be. And then that comes down here to the ninth commandment, how we'll use words. I might want to steal your reputation. Mm-hmm. Or I might want to build up my own reputation, my own ego, by just tearing you apart, Scott. Right. That kind of thing. And the Catechism answers at the very end in terms of defending and promoting my neighbor's good name. His good name. So I don't want to give you a bad name. I don't want to go on a smear campaign. I don't want to spread all manner of vicious rumor or make innuendo or cause people to question the trustworthiness of Scott Henry or the integrity of Scott Henry. But usually it's biting and devouring and ripping one another apart because I want the person to like me and not like Scott Henry. I want the person to think highly of me and not of Scott Henry. I want to ascend in that person's eyes and gain respect and honor and reputation and prestige and not Scott Henry.
Yeah, but
or
it,
whoever
goes one,
may be.
It goes back one from that. It's not simply about me.
Oh, no.
It's you want to exalt yourself to be your own God.
Exactly.
And that's the
And that's
why
I'm using the language of exalt and ascend,
right.
Build myself up, gain some adoration and worship from the person, that kind of thing like that.
So we're a country, we're a lot, the human race is that of liars. We're liars. We have to swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help us God. Why? Because we're liars. We're so accustomed to lying. And that has happened since the fall. They began immediately to lie about God, to lie about His very character. Because as Adam in the garden before the fall, the character of God was shining forth, and Adam was glorifying God in all of his actions, and all of his thoughts, and all of his words. And when he fell from that, he debased God. He wants to be his own God. He wants to determine for himself what's true and what's right. It's interesting, as the Catechism tells us, not to twist anyone's word or be no backbiter or slanderer, somebody that secretly bites and devours behind somebody else's back, or slanderer. Interesting, the Greek word there, slanderer, is diabolos, which means the devil. And to be a slanderer is to be emulating the character of the devil. And that's where we are in society with men who are fallen, dead in their trespasses and sins. They're children of the devil, Jesus said. And the deeds of their father they will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. He's a liar, and he stands not in the truth. The father of lies. And so when we lie as Christians, we are not being consistent with our new nature, and we need to put that off. We need to strive to be truth tellers for the glory, praise, honor, the exaltation of Christ, who is truth.
I think that's an important thing, because you can find a lot of people who break the ninth commandment under the guise of being a truth teller. I'm just going to be a truth teller, and I'm going to tell you what so-and-so did. You know, right. I'm just telling the truth, and they're backbiting, and they're slandering. They're not looking out for their neighbor's good name, because they've left off that part about for Christ, that they've got to be for Christ's glory, and they pretend, well, I'm telling the truth, and therefore I've given my slandering and backbiting and joining and unheard other people condemning them rashly. I've given it this guise of being Christian.
Yeah, but come on, guys, it feels so good. How can something that
well,
feels
and that's
so
what
good
sin,
be so wrong?
That's what sin does. Sin is deceptive. It's tempting. It's juicy.
This comes natural. I mean, it's easy.
I mean, if it wasn't something that felt good, it wouldn't be desired. I don't see anybody rushing out to the trash can to eat cardboard.
Don't
it's
you?
Tasteless. You know? They have no taste.
What
to it.
Do you see them rushing out to the trash can to eat?
Well, yeah, to remember, I worked in Los Angeles for 20 years. I've seen people digging through trash cans,
right.
and for anything and everything that they could get out of a trash can. So be thankful to the Lord that you have food on the table and that we're not homeless. But the lying and the slandering, the backbiting, I think that the level of discernment and understanding, you know what, not everything has to be repeated. And today in the electronic age, Facebook, people are putting things on there that are not true, intruding into the privacy of the home.
No, if it's on the Internet. I saw that commercial on TV. If it's on the Internet, it's true.
We'll talk later.
You can't put anything on the Internet that's not true, can you?
We'll talk later.
Oh, okay.
So... We have to recognize that in the church, you know, in love, right? I come to you and tell you. And one pastor, D. James Kennedy, I heard one time, as he was preaching on James 3, the tongue is like a fire full of deadly poison. Underneath the tongue are these sacks of poison, and our words are shot out like arrows, and they can't be retrieved. Once they're shot out. But he had a woman that came, and after he had preached on that text and was dealing with gossip and slander, and the woman came up to him afterwards and says, "Well, if I can't gossip, what am I going to talk about?" Amazing. And so she wants to talk about somebody else, and he says, "There they are right over there. Why don't we go over there and talk to them, dragon breath?" And that was it with that lady.
Yeah.
And as another analogy, there was a pastor in a town who a man came to him and said that he was convicted of gossiping and slandering about a friend. And he asked the pastor what he should do. And the pastor said, take a pillow, open it up, take all the feathers out of it, and put it back into the case, walk around and put one feather on the doorstep of every home of the person that lives there that you gossiped about your friend. And so he did, and he came back to the pastor, and he says, I've done that. What else do I need to do? He said, now go retrieve all those feathers and bring them back here. He says, well, I can't. The wind's blowing them away. So with your words. You can't get them back. They're like arrows that are shot out that you can't retrieve them again. We need to be very careful with our words and what we say and how we say it. It's not only what we say. It's how we say it. How we come across to one another. And we need to ask ourselves those questions. Are we glorifying God with our mouth? Which is a hard issue.
Right, exactly. And the catechism dealing with avoiding all lying and deceit as the very works of the devil. And Scott, I think you alluded to it in terms of, and let the listeners know, it's John chapter 8, where Christ asked the question, those who thought they were Abraham's descendants, why do you not understand my speech? He's the truth, of course.
Mm-hmm.
They're of their father, the devil, is a liar. They can't understand the truth. You just can't grasp it. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning. He does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it.
Yeah, interesting.
And if we thought about that, you know, because it's so easy. It's so easy to lie. It just comes natural. It's so easy to slander. It's so easy to gossip. It's so easy to tale bear. It's so easy to bite and devour one another. It's so easy to twist another's words. And we just love doing it.
We're vicious people.
Vicious. Deadly. Nature. Deadly. The tongue is deadly.
And we're going to talk more about that deadly poison and our viciousness as we come back from the break. You're listening to 660. Welcome back to Pilgrim Talk Radio. Reverend Lee Johnson with Reverend Henry and Reverend Daryl Kingswood.
What is that? My
sidekick.
And we are talking about the ninth commandment, about not bearing false witness, about looking out for your neighbor's good name. We were specifically talking about our own vicious nature and how easy it is for us to speak lies, following after the father of lies. And quoting the catechism as lies being as the very works of the devil.
Mm-hmm. And James says, James 3, verse 5, see how great a forest a little fire kindles, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. And the tongue is so set among our members that it defiles our whole body, and it's set on and sets the fire the course of nature, and it's set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird and reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. And he says in verse 8, "But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh water." Tongue is an evil, and it comes from the heart. As Jesus said, what comes out of your mouth is coming from your heart. And so when someone speaks and the words that they spew forth, they are demonstrating, you are demonstrating, listener, every time that you open your mouth, what's going on in your heart. It's from the heart that it proceeds out of the mouth, and it reveals the wickedness of man's soul.
I was thinking about our last show. We're talking about, we end it with treasure.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus talks in Matthew chapter 12 about a tree being known by its fruit, and he speaks of a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every
idle word
men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified. By your words you will be condemned. So when we talk about the tongue, again, it goes back to the heart. What is that treasure in the heart? Is it the treasure of who God is? The treasure of who Christ is? The treasure of Christ as truth incarnate, and the truth dwelling within and wanting to speak truth. And again, here, Scott, I think it was the beginning of this broadcast, you spoke about the gospel and our salvation in Christ and Christ alone, and our perfect righteousness in Christ and Christ alone, and the righteousness of his perfect speech. Never uttered a lie, never was guilty of gossip. Never spoke a distortion, a perversion, just a slight discoloration of truth. Did he? Always spoke the truth. That's what got him in trouble. Particularly as he speaks the truth to religious people and exposes their hypocrisy. You know, it shines the light into the darkness of their lives. And so that's really what it comes down to, this taking this seriously. The words that I speak, every word that I speak will come into the judgment. Every idle word, many that we say, well, I didn't mean anything by it. You know, you think, sometimes you talk about people, I've golfed with people and they'll take the Lord's name in vain. Well, it'll literally be, you know, cursing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ or of God, of these things like that. And you say to them, you know, it's not a good idea. You should probably really think about whose name you're taking upon your lips and the manner in which you're doing that. And you know what they say? Oh, didn't mean anything by it. Exactly. That's the point. To take those words, the name of God upon your lips, in an idle fashion, as if you mean you don't mean anything by it. And in fact, the matter is, I don't believe them. I think they did mean something by them. And I think that's exposing, in the use of the tongue, the perversion, the disregard, the blasphemy of the heart, to take the name of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, upon their lips in the form of a curse.
Now, how do we, just posing a question to you on that, dealing with people like that, how do we reach out to them, speaking the truth in love, recognizing that, how do we expect the unbelieving world to speak? If the heart is unregenerate, it's fallen, it's dead in its trespasses and sins, hates the truth, hates the light, will not come to the truth, will not come to the light, wants to be its own arbitrator, wants to be its own God, its own judge, its own ruler, contradicts everything which is right and holy and just, how do we reach out and minister to people? I mean, I think so often that the church expects things from the unbeliever that they're not able to do.
Right. Well, sometimes you expect them to be coarse, vulgar, disrespectful, obscene, right? Other times you can expect them to be very deceptive, misleading, hypocritical with their language. Mm-hmm. If I address somebody that way, it's not that I'm surprised that they speak right. that way at all. Mm-hmm. I expect it, but wanting them to get a sense of just how serious it is and how offensive it is to God to speak that way. So I usually ask them, well, what's your wife's name or what's your mother's name? They tell me, I says, all right. And then I just use their wife's or mother's name as a cuss word for the next three words. Right? Every time something goes wrong, something goes bad, right? I get his wife's name in there and I use it in just a vulgar and a blasphemous way and they get the point. You know what? Most people don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't like it. No, I don't actually do that. But that would get the point across, wouldn't it? That kind of thing. But yeah, what's the expectation?
But the scary thing is that their wife or mother doesn't hold your breath in their hands.
No, they don't. But they still, on that level, will get it. Now, turn that up a notch. Mm-hmm. Turn the heat up on that one. Bam! Now.
An infinite
you
notch.
Think, yeah. Turn it way up. I'm turning the volume way up on this one. Okay? And this is live, not Memorex. And this is going to blow you away. Or you're going to get blown away. That's the thing of just getting that sense. But they got to, on the earthly level, get some sense. And that's, I think, why Jesus told parables. Because he understood they'll get the picture on the physical level in the spiritual truth.
Well, let me ask you this question.
Okay, let me
pose it to you, brothers, about... the Catechism says, join in condemning no one unheard or rashly. Why does it seem in the church that's so prevalent? Why is it that
we're... Well, did you hear what so-and-so did?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, why is that? Why?
You know what? And I know why they did it. You want me to tell you?
You heart-reading psychic.
Exactly. I know why they said that. I mean, they said they didn't say it for that reason, but I know better.
We're being inconsistent with who we are as those who are redeemed, and praise God that we have the blood of Christ that has been covered all of our sins. But since we have a new nature, we need to be more and more diligent in being consistent with who we are and not joining in with others who don't even get the opportunity to say why they've done certain things. We think we can read people's hearts when we cannot. And that goes on so often in the church. And the Catechism says, go ahead.
I was going to say, I think that there's another reason as well.
Right.
Is that as Christians, especially we're talking about in the church.
Right.
I think that if we were to then go to those other people and say, well, why'd you do this? I heard you did this and it was wrong. And you're wrong to do it. It was awful. It's a horrible thing. Because if they say, you're right, I'm sorry, forgive me, then you can't hold it against them anymore.
Right.
Then it's gone. You've got to forgive them. And what we want to do is to be able to hold it against them. And so it's not just that I think I can read their heart, it's that I don't want to take the chance that I'm not going to be able to use this. This is now my billy club, and it will make me feel better when I see them doing something, or I can use it to beat them down, and instead of actually having to do the work that we're told to do of going to somebody and reconciling and forgiving. That's not what we like.
And that's the deception of sin, isn't it?
It is.
That we think we hold something over somebody. And one of the things that the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians, actually, is that we're not ignorant of Satan's devices, 2 Corinthians 2. Mm. And one of the devices he speaks about there is unforgiveness. And as man is unforgiving, and he uses the example of the man caught in adultery who was having a... who was committing adultery with his father's wife in 1 Corinthians 5. And then the man was cast out of the church as the Corinthians were really rejoicing and gloating in that. And Paul says, when you gather together along with my spirit in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, cast that man out of the church. And they did so. They cast him out. To their credit,
mm-hmm.
they exercised church discipline, cast him out of the church. But then when the man repented, he genuinely repented, he came back to the church in 2 Corinthians 2, the apostle relates that, they wouldn't forgive him. And Paul says, we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. A device of Satan is unforgiveness. And unforgiveness creates an atmosphere of bitterness in your heart, and it entangles your heart, and it chokes out your own spiritual life. And so here's the deception. In thinking that you're getting one over on somebody else by not forgiving them, you're actually destroying your own spiritual life. That's how destructive sin truly is in our heart, and how deceived we can be by sinful actions.
Let me a couple verses in there, just to back up exactly what you're saying. A couple verses from Peter. First of all, in 1 Peter chapter 5, he talks about how we need to be sober, need to be vigilant. That's the idea of self-controlled and watchful. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He wants to devour, tear apart. Go back to the destructive aspect of that.
Who is saying that? Is Peter?
Is Peter saying what?
Well, he's writing that what you just read. Peter wrote that.
Mm-hmm.
Firsthand, Peter, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat.
Exactly.
To have you, to devour you.
All right. Well, you know what? Give me a high five on that. Little tag team right there.
Visible.
Little biblical.
Audible.
Yeah, is biblical tag team. And then earlier in 1 Peter chapter 2, he says, "Beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which wage war against your soul." And Scott, when you're talking, what I'm hearing is you're telling me that in terms of bitterness and resent and anger and an unforgiving spirit, I'm vengeful and I'm vindictive. Mm-hmm. Is that what you're saying? Is that what you're saying, Julie?
That's what I'm saying.
Are you saying these are the issues?
Mm-hmm.
We like to be vindictive and vengeful and get revenge.
Mm-hmm.
We like to be able to hold something over somebody's head. Is that what you guys are saying to me?
And that's what the scripture saying.
And the devil? You're saying Satan is active in these things?
No, that's what God says.
Exactly. And that these are some of the fleshly lusts, resent,
yeah. And even
bitterness, anger, a vengeful spirit, an unforgiving spirit. Those are some of the fleshly lusts that wage war against our souls.
Right.
And why do we say these things? Because as ministers of the word, we have the responsibility to watch over the souls of people, to warn people and say, hear and heed the warning. These things are serious things. And you talk about why we do this. I'm convinced we do this because we don't really understand our identity in Christ. We struggle with that identity in Christ. We experience identity amnesia or just outright ignorance. We really don't understand who Christ is and what he has done and our new identity in him. And therefore, we still embrace these kind of things, the ways of the old man, living in these patterns and these customs.
And it's easy. It's an easy life. It's an easy living that way. It's difficult to take the high road.
I don't even have to warm up. I don't even have to stretch.
It's difficult to take the high road.
I've never pulled a muscle when I'm vindictive. I'm always loose. All right, Lee, we're done.
Well, let me just, before we go, remind everybody about how we open the show with Reverend Henry, that there is forgiveness for these things in Christ Jesus.
Exactly.
Like we've been saying, it is easy. We've all done it. But there is also a place to flee so that the burden of God's heavy wrath does not rest upon your shoulders,
right.
And that's only in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Only in Jesus.
But as James says, we need to be willing to look into that mirror.
Mm-hmm.
And see what Scripture reveals to us. And
amen.
Face it.
And that's why we do it.
Confess, repent. There's liberty, there's freedom in the confession of the soul.
And if you're looking for a church, Heritage Reformed Church meets at Mission Middle School, 9 o'clock Sunday School, 10 a.m. worship, Mission Middle School in Bellevue. You can find out more at heritagerus.net. We hope you're back here next week on 660.
And that's a wrap.
We're out.